I used to always say things like, man, I can't wait to get to heaven and run through the green grass and no more snow. And then I got to studying after Larkin and Ruckman, and they said it's a frozen heaven, so messed that up for me. But I promise you this, whatever it is, we're going to love it and enjoy it. And I'm thankful I'm headed that way. Psalms 116 this morning. Psalms 116. I appreciate, even though this is my first time here, I appreciate the liberty. And there's a liberty, if you're a preacher, you understand this, there's a liberty that comes from the Lord with preaching. And I'm thankful for that. There's a liberty that you give as the congregation, and I appreciate the good liberty during Sunday school and just feeling at home. Even though first time here, I feel at home. And so that's a blessing. We have a tendency down south, especially in the southeast part of the country, a lot of times they don't get with you till you get loud and moving around a lot. Mountains, they don't get you preaching unless you're hacking. And y'all know what a hacking preacher is? Y'all ever... Hey, man, I'm telling you, brother, it's a good day. Hallelujah, when the Lord came by my way. What glory. So I can do that. I just don't. But and I've heard some old country preachers, mountain preachers that hacked. And I mean, they had something from the Lord and it was good. And so I'm not knocking that. But there is a tendency to think that if they ain't doing it the way we want them to do it, then they ain't preaching. And I just like Bible preaching. I don't care what your personality is. I don't care what your delivery is. As long as you're giving me the book, I like it. Amen? But I like preaching in this part of the country. It just seems like there's a good liberty when you preach. And I'm thankful for that today. And I appreciate the good singing. I don't go to many churches where they have an orchestra. I enjoyed that this morning. And I go to a lot of churches down south. You know, they'll have mandolins and banjos and all that stuff. You know, bass guitars and fiddles and... And all that, and every now and then I get to come to a church like this morning here, and so I like that. I go to one church in Shelby, North Carolina, Brother Barry Goodman. He's a good friend of mine. Brother Goodman has a large, long platform, and so on one side of the platform, Brother Caleb, they have all the mandolins and banjos. On the other side, they have this. They have the orchestra. I said, man, this is great, y'all. What a balance. This is like Bob Jones meets George Jones. This is wonderful. So, amen. Don't act like y'all don't know who George Jones is. Y'all ain't that sanctified. I'm no better than that. Psalms 116. My assignment, I've been to Blaze off and on, I guess since about 2003, but in 2016, Brother Roscoe called and said, we need some relief on Sunday at our church. We're tired. We're wore out. He said, I'm going to use you some during Youth Ablaze, but he said pretty much my assignment was to be a relief for them, which that's wise, because they just need to breathe and relax a little bit. And so for the last 10 years, I guess it's been, that's what my purpose has really been in Youth Ablaze, is staying over. But as Brother Caleb has already said, they have Caleb Hewling there today with them this morning, so that did free me up where I could get away and be able to come be with you all. So I appreciate the invitation, Brother Caleb. Thank you. I'm glad we were able to finally work, even if just for one service, I'm glad we were able to work it out. So thank you all for having us. Psalms 116, verse number 1. The psalmist said this, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Now we'll look at this text a little closer in a moment, some more verses, but that's what I want to preach on this morning. I love the Lord. And I guess where I was going with that, telling you about what Brother Roscoe originally started bringing me up to Youth Ablaze for, was, you know, you come in, everybody's tired. Man, we've been up on the mountaintop all weekend at Youth Ablaze, but man, it wears your flesh out, and everybody's tired come Sunday, and I have a tendency just to keep things kind of lighthearted, because we've been preached to all week. I mean, if you're still holding out on getting right, man, it's like, what in the world? That wasn't good enough for you, but I try to keep things a little on the light side on the Sunday following Youth Ablaze. So I just prayed about it and believed the Lord would have me to do the same thing here. I just want to magnify the Lord this morning. I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about the love of God. Our love for Him, His love for us. I realize the Jolly Osteen crowd and all that. I realize they major only on the love of God. And that's not good. They're off balance. And we're seeing the results of that. I understand that today. But I also understand if we're not careful, we can only preach one side of the Lord, judgment and wrath and, you know, all that stuff, and then never talk about His love. I'm glad He loves me today. But I love Him. He's easy to love. Would you agree with me on that today? How easy is it? Some of y'all ain't easy to love. But neither am I sometimes. But He's easy to love. Our former president we just had before, I wouldn't say he's easy to love. I don't even know that our current president is easy to love. I like what he's doing. If I met him personally, I don't know that I'd necessarily find him easy to love. But we got a God this morning who is wonderful and glorious and good and holy and righteous. And I love the Lord. Let me give you several thoughts from this passage of Scripture this morning. We see the professing of His love. He did say, He professes, I love the Lord. We will move on from that phrase in a moment, but the truth is, even if we didn't get out of that phrase for the next 30 or 40 minutes, it'd be okay. It'd be just to brag on the Lord and talk about our love for Him. And if your love for Him is not what it ought to be today, maybe something will ignite in your spirit today, in your heart, that would ignite a greater love for Him. The psalmist's love here, it's exclusive. He says, I love the Lord. Now in Psalms 115, the previous psalm, it's us and we love the Lord. It's collective. And that's good. It's good that we can come to church on Sunday and assemble together and proclaim our love for the Lord together through songs and preaching and the testimonies that you'll have tonight, Lord willing. Amen. It's good that we can do that collectively and corporately. But every now and then, y'all, it just needs to get personal. Every now and then, it just needs to be you and God and you crying out saying, I love the Lord. Not just mom and daddy love the Lord. Not just the preacher, the pastor loves the Lord. Amen. But I love the Lord. It was not only exclusive, though, it was expressive. He's expressing His love for the Lord. You ladies, if your husband says, I love you, but I mean, there's just nothing behind it, no emotion, no expression, no excitement, you're going to start wondering, do you really love me? Come on. Or are you just saying that because you're supposed to? I believe the psalmist is writing with expression here. He's expressing his affection for the Lord. Do you realize to love someone means more than just knowing them? I drive down my road. I don't have many neighbors. I live out in the country. But as I drive down the way, there's a few houses scattered out through there. And I've had a few little conversations with my neighbors over the last 9 years we've lived there. And you know what? I can honestly say I love them in the sense that if they're not saved, I want them to get saved. If they are saved, I pray that they're enjoying the blessings of God. I can say I love them in that sense. But I don't love my neighbors like I love my wife. I don't see my neighbors and jump out of the car and hug them and grab, oh, I love you so much. They'd probably shoot me. It is Tennessee, amen. When I get home tomorrow evening and I see my little wife, I can guarantee you I'm going to grab her and hug her. I might even kiss her, amen, if she'll let me. It'll be expressive. We ought to be expressive in our love for the Lord. I mean, not only does He know us, but we know Him. I mean, expressive, it means to adore with all of your heart. How many of you men got in trouble a couple weeks ago on Valentine's Day? Amen. I went to Walmart on Valentine's Day. Thankfully, I wasn't hunting for a Valentine card. I was hunting for a birthday card. But it's so fun just to watch all the men that are panicking and sweating because it's already February 14th and they haven't done nothing. But I love Him. And that ought to be expressed. And I hear this a lot. I preach a lot up in the Northeast, and I hear this sometimes when we get to talking about expression and emotion. Well, preacher, we're just, you know, that I know y'all are more expressive in the South. Y'all shout more in your churches, or you get more expressive and all. Don't feed me that line. I mean, that tends to be the way it is. Let me clear something up real quick. It seems like, Brother Caleb, that up north, they think all the Baptist churches in the South shout and run the aisles every Sunday. They don't. Matter of fact, there's a lot of dead Baptist churches down south. Now, I guess the excitement, the zeal, maybe there's a little bit more of it down there. But then down south, they think that all the churches up north are dead and dry and cold. And that's not the case either. But I have heard a lot up north, that's neat how y'all do it in the South. We're just not emotional and expressive. You're lying. What the truth would be, if you're going to tell the truth, we just don't get expressive in church. Because I've watched the ball games. I've watched games where the Buffalo Bills were playing. And everybody wasn't sitting there like, oh no. I mean, if anything, that's where you watch them. People got, icicles hanging out of their nose from their snot that froze. Standing out there with their shirts off, you know, 15 below zero with the team logos and stuff painted on their skin. Amen. Don't tell me you don't get expressive. You get expressive about what you love, what you adore. Whether it's, but don't tell me you don't get expressive. You get hung up on one of these roads around here, the throughway or whatever, traffic. You get expressive. I get expressive every time I drive through Atlanta, Georgia. You don't drive through Atlanta, Georgia. You stop and go and stop and go. Oh, I get expressive. My daughter will tell you. If I could lose my salvation, it would be in Atlanta, Georgia. If I could, that's where I'd have lost it many times already. Now, we get expressive over what we love. Y'all remember watching The Price is Right? You remember how that guy would say, so-and-so, come on down. Not one time did they ever come down that aisle like, no, man, every time they're like, woo! And all they did was got their name called. They ain't even won anything. And then even if they do win, they'll spend most of it on taxes. But woo! Hey, y'all, man, we've been saved. God called our name one day and we answered that call, amen. We've been born again and redeemed and washed in the blood. That ought to stir us up, amen. That ought to put a fire down in our heart, amen, that we would burn for the glory of God and that we would express our love for Him. Well, we're just not expressive up here, Brother Daniel. I bet you ladies cried during all them Christmas Hallmark movies back in December. Y'all don't cry during those? Some of y'all stocked up on tissue boxes beforehand just to make sure you had plenty of tissue, and they all end the same way. I can tell you what's going to happen in the first 10 minutes. Now, I'm not saying don't enjoy the ball game. I'm not saying don't get emotional watching your Hallmark movies. But don't tell me you're not emotional or you're not expressive. Because you're above the Mason-Dixon line. Amen. Now, maybe you're not a shouter. That's fine. But you can find some way to express your love for the Lord. Some people shout. Some people cry. Some people will come down to an altar when they're getting blessed. But find some way to express your love for the Lord. Whether it's on your own, or collectively, we. Express your love for the Lord. Don't you be ashamed to express your love for God after all that He's done for you, after sending His Son to die on Calvary's cross, amen, to take our sin and our shame where we should have been. He did that for us. How dare us be too bashful? Are just selfish sometimes to express our love for Him. He says, I love the Lord. Amen. He's professing His love, but number two, we see the purpose of His love. He says there in verse number 1, I love the Lord because. See, the psalmist not only knows that he loves God, he knows why. He's like, not only do I love the Lord, I can tell you reasons why I love the Lord. Could I give you just some of them? When I look through the list here that he goes through, I see some of the same things he's done in my life. I mean, I think we could say, first of all, I love the Lord because He loved me. I mean, when I read the words, I love the Lord because, I can't help but think about what John said in 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. Look, y'all, I couldn't even love God until He first loved me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But not only did He first love me, He listened to me. He listens to me. Now, notice what He said there. Because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Verse 2, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. That speaks of the response of God. I'm crying out to Him. Thank God He's listening. Amen. He's bending an ear to hear what I have to say. Ain't that a blessing? Right. That He would take time to hear my cry, that He would listen to what I have to say. Right. You know, there's not many people in this world that really want to hear from me. I voted for Donald Trump, but I bet if I tried to call, he wouldn't answer the phone. I got preacher friends. I got lots of preacher phone numbers in my cell phone. But Brother Caleb, I'm an evangelist, so they don't answer my call because they're like, he's an evangelist, he's looking for a meeting. He's looking for an offering. And by the way, I didn't come here for an offering today. He mentioned taking up an offering. I didn't come for an offering. I ain't leaving without one, but that ain't why I came. Amen. There's a lot of people that would not take my call. Matter of fact, my phone rings about 10 times a day with somebody wanting to try to sell me something, telemarketers. Well, they don't want to hear what I have to say. They want me to listen to them. But the King of Glory, the High and Holy One, Brother Andrew, He loves me.
Amen.
And He listens to me. We have an audience with God. I mean, the old spiritual song used to say, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Call Him up, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. You've got access to the throne room. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Now look at the resolve of the psalmist. Well, we know that God hears us, but notice what he says at the end of verse number 2. Therefore, since He hears me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. I'm telling you, when you've got a heart that's full of a sense of God's goodness in your life, the tongue cannot hold its peace. Our prayers are praise. Amen. When you really get a hold of just how good God has been to you, how good He's been to me, and we don't deserve it, you get a hold of that, it won't be long. You'll be crying out to Him. You'll be praying to Him. You'll even be giving Him praise and glory. But you know what we tend to do? We tend to think on everything that's going wrong. Well, I had a bad day. This happened, that happened. And bad things do happen. People can hurt you, even in the church. But you know what we do? We think about that one time, that one thing, that one person, and we'll dwell on that for 50 years. But God will do something real good for us, and we'll give Him one little bit of praise and then never think about it again. Amen. But I tell you what, you get a heart that's just full of God's goodness. It won't be long. You'll be crying out to Him. Not only does He listen to me, but the psalmist says He lifted me. Now he reflects back. He's reflecting back in verse number 3. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Now let me pause long enough to say that doctrinally I do believe verse 3 is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that based on Acts 2:27. He said, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. We see a similar verse in Psalm 16, I believe it is. And you do understand that while Christ's body lay in that tomb, He was doing business. business was being done. I ain't got time to get into all that. I think personally that verse 3 is referencing that. But we can look at it devotionally. Devotionally, we see that the psalmist, he's remembering a time of sorrow and suffering in his life. And he's reflecting on that. And how many of you know this morning that getting saved, it didn't exempt you from pain? It didn't exempt you from trouble. Tell you what confuses a lot of new believers, they turn on religious television and they hear some cat stand up there and say things like, I'm telling you, if you get saved and give your life to the Lord, you'll never have financial problems again, never get sick, never have issues, everything's just going to be rainbows and lollipops and Care Bears. Sounds good, but it ain't Bible. God's people go through great suffering. Trials, tragedies, we're not exempt. But God often uses the shovel of sorrow to dig the well of joy. Everybody wants joy. You know what they were doing at the bars last night? They were trying to find some joy, but it don't last long. And you have more problems when it's all said and done. You know what the dope people are doing today? You know what the addicts are doing? That they're trying to find some kind of joy or peace. And they might get some temporary satisfaction, but then when the high is over, they got more problems than they had before. And as a child of God, I'm glad that we can have joy not just on the mountaintop, not just during weekends like Youth Ablaze, but I'm glad when the sorrows of life hit us on Monday and in times of suffering, I'm glad we can still find joy in the long dark valley. We can still find joy in the midnight hour. We can still find joy, hallelujah, in the worst storm of your life. And you'll find that, yeah, as bad as it is, God will use sorrow to dig that well where we find joy. Amen. God's blessings, when we look at them, they may not be as complete as we desire. They may not be everything that we want them to be. But I'll tell you this, they're certainly more than we deserve. You understand that today? I don't deserve anything God's done for me. I don't deserve anything He's given me. So maybe we're like, well, I wish I had this house. I wish I had that car. I wish I had that. Why don't we just get overwhelmed with just how good God's already been to us? Notice the request He makes in verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. You notice his prayer there? There wasn't nothing fancy about it. It was short. It was sincere. But it was successful. You know, you find yourself in a time of great sorrow or suffering or affliction, all them fancy, flowery prayers that we throw up to impress the brethren, they go out the window. All them long prayers, they go out the window. Now, I don't care if you pray a long time, but do it in your own time. Don't do it when Brother Caleb dismisses the service in a moment and we're ready to go eat. That ain't time to get caught up on your prayer life. That ain't time to pray for all the missionaries. Amen. You do that during the week. Amen. No, I tell you what, he's suffering and all he could say was, Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. All that stuff, all that. Father, how we thank Thee. You are so great and wonderful. And how You've blessed us so bountifully, our God. Yeah, you chunk all that out the window. I'm glad the Lord knows our suffering. He knows what we're going through. Back in the fall, November, I came down with pneumonia and I was in the hospital for several days. I promise you, when I was laying in that hospital bed, that's the first time in my life I ever thought I was actually going to die. I wasn't throwing up any fancy prayers. I tell you what I did a lot, laying in that hospital bed. Lord, help. Help, Lord. But I'm glad that's enough. That's enough. Notice his report in verse number 5. Here's what he found out. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I say hallelujah right there. I can get in on that. He said the Lord preserveth those of high degree, I'd have been out. The Lord preserveth the wealthy, I'd have been out. The Lord preserveth the good looking, most of us would be out. But he said the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. God is gracious in hearing. He's righteous in his judgment. And he's merciful in his pardoning. Anybody here this morning been pardoned by God? I mean, you stood before him guilty, you could not deny it, and yet you received pardon. But look at the rest he found in verse 7. He said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." He found rest, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of sorrow. He found out that when he cried out to God, when he looked to God and praised God, he found out that he could still lay down and rest. In the midst of your worst storm, brother and sister, you'll find out if you'll just look to God and cry out to Him, you can find rest for your soul. I'm glad there's rest, amen. It don't even matter whether you own a MyPillow or a Walmart pillow, amen. You find rest in the Lord. I remember 20 years ago they started coming out with that little neon-colored butterfly. He was always flying around. Like, you need to get this. It'll help you sleep at night. I don't know, Lunesta or something like that. And then they'd list all the side effects, you know. Diarrhea, headaches, dizziness, thoughts of depression, thoughts of suicide. In some rare cases, death. Man, I think I'd rather just have insomnia. You do what you want, but tell you what you'll find. You'll find rest in the Lord. He's lifted me. But not only that, the psalmist says he liberated me. Verse number 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I mean, he's rejoicing in the Lord's deliverance. The fact that he has been delivered. Amen. Aren't you glad you've been delivered this morning? I mean, we were on a slick path to hell, but God has changed our path today. Praise God for that. I mean, we were in darkness, but one day He came by and He opened our blinded eyes. Amen. And I'm no longer in the darkness, but He's brought me into the light. I've been passed from death unto life. I've been delivered. Praise God. He liberated me. He's rejoicing in the Lord. You see here the triune God has given the psalmist a trinity of deliverances there in that verse. I mean, there in verse 8, his life has been spared from the grave. His heart has been lifted from grief, and his life has been preserved from gloom. And I'm glad the Lord has done that for me today. So, the professing of his love, the purpose of his love. Lastly, we see the performance of his love. Verse number 9. He said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He says, I'm going to walk before the Lord. I hesitate to even use that word performance because there are those within the Christian world that teach a works-based salvation, and we don't believe that. Amen?
Right, that's right.
It's not any work I've ever done or ever will do. You're not going to work your way to heaven. I'm glad this morning Jesus did the work on Calvary. He got the job done. He said, it is finished, before he gave up the ghost. In other words, there's nothing you can add to that. There's nothing you can improve upon. It's not Jesus plus this or Jesus plus that. He got the job done, brother and sister. But as a born-again believer who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, I should live a life of love, a life of sacrifice, a life of holiness before the Lord. I mean, a heart that's in love with the Lord, it ought to be visible to somebody else. You say, how? Sincere labor, a life of holiness, a mouth full of praise. These things ought to be visible to other people. He says, I'm going to walk before the Lord. I mean, what's inside of you, it ought to show up on the outside. People ought to see something different about God's people. And by the way, we don't have to live like the Amish and dress like the Amish to prove our love for God. Now, if they want to do that, that's fine. But the Bible didn't put that on them. They put that on themselves. But I'll say this about it. You know it when you see them. They're easily identified. There ought to be something different about us. Not just on Sunday when you put your suit and tie on and all that stuff. I mean, when you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school tomorrow, when you're at the shopping center and down at Walmart and the Dollar General. Hey, man, I tell you what, somebody ought to be able to recognize there's something different about them. And not just in our dress, but I mean in our spirit, in our countenance. No wonder people don't want to get saved so often. They look at us, how sour we look. But I'm a King James Bible believer. Yeah, but you mean as a snake. I'm glad you're a King James Bible believer. Don't change. You ain't got to be a jerk either. You need Jesus. Well, yeah, it sure made you happy, hadn't it? Amen. I want you to go back to verse number 1. And I'll be done. Brother Caleb, I don't know who's doing the invitation, but they can go ahead and come to the piano. They'll be fine. Notice again what he says in verse 1. I love the Lord because. Here's the amazing thing, y'all. He loves me. Period. Don't get too thrilled about that. He loves you. Period. Not he loves me because. No, I love him because. See, our love is a consequent love. I love him because of who he is. I love him for what he's done. But his love for us, it's a causeless love. I did not do anything, Brother Caleb, to cause him to love me. But he loves me. I'm thankful that he does. And if you're lost here today, if you're unsaved, he offers his love to you. He wants you to be saved. He wants to bring you into his family, into a personal relationship with him. And what a blessing that he invites us to be his child. But I'm glad today, as his child, he loves me. And I'm glad I can say this morning, I love him. And you know what? We can get happy about that in church. We should. We can shout about that in church. We should. We can sing about I love the Lord in church. We should. But I'll tell you what will make a difference in this world when we walk out them doors today. And the world can see, man, they love God. They can see our love for the Lord, not just in these four walls, but out there. Do you love him today? He's easy to love. Let's all stand this morning. Very, very simple thought, but just maybe somebody just need to be reminded today that this thing of the Christian life, it is all about loving him. Oh, there's other aspects of the Christian life, but it ought to start with, I love the Lord. I love the church today because I love the Lord. I love the gospel. I love the work of missions today because I love the Lord. I love gospel tracts because I love the Lord. Lord, I pray you'll bless the invitation. Help us to love you more and more each day. Thank you for first loving us. I pray for that one that's not saved today. I pray you'd do that work of conviction, that they'd realize they're lost and that they'd be saved before it's too late. We ask it in Jesus' name.